All right. So, hey, Vince, say again, what was going on with the property that you have?
So I found this property from a yellow letter I sent out from those 50 I wrote a week ago. And this guy has a few properties. He's living in Rainier now, and he wants to move. He wants to pick up more properties closer to where he is instead of so he's going to sell this one in Federal Way. It isn't on the market yet, and it sounds like he's got a lot of irons in the fire. So he's so I'm going to talk to him again tonight after this call.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Do you know what your response rate on your letters has been yet?
Responses is 20%, and it was
wow,
some
great.
Yeah, great response, and maybe almost 10% of those are turning into people that I can talk to a bit further.
Cool. Okay, so that's 20% have called your VA, and out of those 20%, half of those have turned into potential appointments. Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. And then have you had a chance to go on any appointments yet, or are you just getting all set up right now?
No, I haven't gotten anyone to the point where we could do an appointment. So I'm just the ones that are still interested in talking to me after the first call, I call them back. I went back to the guy in Tacoma that has a place that he wants to lease option, but I called him again after a few weeks, and he said he's been real busy, but he's still interested. And I said, well, how about I call you in a week or two then? And so I'm going to do that. I set up a reminder in 2 weeks to call him.
Okay. All right. And are you you're using Zoho, right?
Yeah, I really like it, actually. I think it's a great CRM.
Yeah. Is anybody else using Zoho or another CRM?
I kind of started using it, but I never really kept up with it.
Because I set up a Zoho CRM before I started using Infusionsoft, and I have I think that I've got all the fields that I had included in like an Excel document. So if somebody wants me, what I can do is I can put them up on that website. I'll upload them. So if you just want to be able to take the fields that I've created, so you can make your custom fields, you should be able to do it pretty easily. And did you have to do a bunch of custom fields then, Vince, on yours?
Yeah, I did add a few so that I could track what kind of a contact they were, you know, buyer, seller, investor, stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put that on the website. Did anybody have any issues accessing the calls on the website when I sent that link?
I could access them, and while I was online, there didn't seem to be any option to download them to where I could just listen to them, you know, on my iPhone.
Yeah,
or something.
I'm gonna try to. That's a good point, because what I'd like to do is get it so you can download it, so you can throw it on like an iPod or iPhone or you know Android or something like that. So I'll go. I just got a plugin. That's all it included. But if I can find a different plugin that allows you to download it too, that's what I'll do.
Great.
And so for future calls, that's what I'm going to do. Is I'm just going to take this recording. I'm going to throw it up there so that if you miss it or if you want to get back to something, you can. All right, Vince. Is there anything else that you got for questions or challenges or updates?
No. Thank you.
Okay, I'll let you rest your voice so you can get better. Hey, Sally, how's things going with you?
I had to get out of away from the computer, so this was my week to be in the field. So I spent 3 days in Bellevue and a day in Gig Harbor and 2 days in Puyallup.
Wow.
And I feel like I have a better handle on estimating repairs.
So were you visiting a lot of houses then?
Yes. And then I just this afternoon, I spent a lot of time in a real estate office. She couldn't give me a list of foreclosures, but she would go through them with me one by one based on my search criteria.
Sure.
One of the things that was interesting to me and I wanted to test out with you is she doesn't want me to make multiple offers. By the way, I was back to Rios and foreclosures this week. I was frustrated with Axe, so
right.
I went back to Rios and foreclosures. So But I told her what I wanted to do is, you know, she asked me if this was a pretty house, and I said, I don't care if it's a pretty house. I just want to know that the numbers work. And once the numbers work, I want to make multiple offers. And apparently there's some kind of etiquette with real estate agents that they get upset, I guess, if they have an offer in and somebody's withdraws their offer because another one's been accepted. And I wondered if anybody else ran into this.
Okay, so let me ask clarify that. So you're talking about wanting to make multiple offers on properties. So 10 REOs make offers on all 10 of them, and she is saying that she doesn't like that idea.
She, one at a time, and then wait 3 months until to see if it goes or no go. That doesn't work for me.
Either educate her on the reason for that or find a different real estate agent. Because the reality is that maybe 1 out of 20 or 1 out of 30 is going to get accepted. And because you're going to make all these offers really low, is this an agent that's a friend of yours?
This is not even the agent I've been working with. So I would have no problem giving her up. It's just that I spent a long time in her office going through different searches, and we looked at properties, and that seemed to be. I went in there to ask for a list, was my purpose going in, because it's advertised on the sign. You can have a foreclosure list. So
right.
I was going to go in and then take it home and look up my assessed value. But she wanted to go through one by one. So she should be able to find somebody who will entertain multiple offers.
And then also you said something about she didn't like the idea of having you withdraw offers if something else came through. Is that what you said?
Well, at this point, I'm using my own money. If all of the offers came through, obviously I'd be out of money. So,
and that won't happen. I mean, realistically, that's the thing, is that she's got the assumption that, what if you make 10 offers and they all get accepted? Or if you get one accepted and now you withdraw from the other one, that's just not going to happen. And so does she know that you're going to be making these offers at 65 cents on the dollar?
I told her 70, but I like the 65 better. But that's another question I guess I had from you or the group. She's calling this market stable, meaning that there are roughly an equal number of buyers and sellers, so there's no deep discounts. Now, she does admit that the banks are holding back on foreclosure. She knows of places that are behind 14 months, but the bank won't foreclose because they think it's better to leave the person in the house than to kick them out and have the house damaged.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there definitely are more competition out there. Is she kind of giving you the idea that these offers are not going to get accepted?
She wasn't fighting me on it, but I told her I was looking at houses that were on the market for an extended period. I was looking at anything over 200 days where the original price and the listing price were different, that they dropped it.
Sure.
And I was looking for a bargain, basically, where I had some equity when I bought it. So
this is what I do. This is my experience, and I think what you'll find with real estate agents is you need to find an agent who knows what you're doing as an investor, and an agent that is willing to submit a lot of offers, knowing that majority of them are going to get rejected. So the challenge comes in that if an agent's making a bunch of offers for somebody and they're not getting anything out of it, they're basically working for free until they close a deal.
Right.
And so what I recommend is before making, when you interviewing an agent, finding out if they work with investors and everything, you might try having them write up one or two offers for you, and then let them know that you're looking to develop a relationship with a real estate agent. You talk to a lot of sellers who have not listed their houses, and a majority of them you're not going to end up buying, and so you'd like to have an agent that you can refer listings to. And who will also be able to work with you in order to help you buy properties at a big discount. And so if you can throw leads to an agent so they go, oh, this person's for real, this person's helping me out, and you give them some value, then they're going to be more likely to work with you. And, you know, investors are a pain in the ass. That's the thing, a lot of them are. But if you work with the right agent understands that. The thing about working with an investor is that they hopefully will not have to explain a lot of things to you. You're a professional. You know what you're doing. So what I tell my agent is just send me the new properties that come up. I will take a look at them. I will make my offers. I'll just send you a number, and I'll send you all the information that I want. So this is my entity. This is I always want a, you know, 7-day inspection, you know, a 20-day close, all cash, and it's just cookie cutter. So if they even, you know, I've signed a lot of purchase and sale agreements, and just, you know, my agent actually will just sometimes submit them, so I don't even have to go back and forth with facts. And we'll make the offer really, really low. And actually, I'm doing these offers sight unseen. I'm not looking at any properties except for the ones that, except for going online. I might do a quick, like, Zillow search, or I'll spend no more than 5 minutes to try to establish an after-repaired value. I'll spend no more than, you know, 1 minute looking through the photos, just guesstimating the repair cost. It's usually going to be, on the low end, 10 grand. On the high end, you know, depending on the property, if it needs a full kitchen, bath, carpet paint, windows, doors, remodel, it's going to be $30,000 to $40,000 for just an average-sized house. And so I'll go ARV times 0.65 minus repairs. That's my maximum offer. And I'll put it in right at that number. And, you know, 19 out of 20 are going to get rejected. 1 out of 20, they're going to come back and they're going to counter at a price that, you know, shows that there's some you know, potential room to actually make this a deal. And at that point, I go and I have the agent take me through the house. I might bring my contractor with me so that we can get a firm bid, and then I'll have the agent, you know, verify the after repaired value. And then what I can do is I can go and really nail down a good offer. I might be able to come up on my offer. Sometimes I actually will have to go down if I think my guesstimate was too high. And then after that, if they accept, great. If not, then we keep on moving on. So, you got to find an agent that's willing to kind of work that process with you. And if the agent, here's the other thing, was she planning on taking you to every single house that you're making offers on?
She would have. I kept telling her that what I want is a spreadsheet more than I want a tour.
Okay. So that's the other thing, is she might be worried that you're going to make 20 offers and, you know, might have a 5% chance of getting something accepted. And so she's going to be working 20 times as hard to get a deal done. So just let her know that you're not going to have her driving you all over the place.
That's really good stuff, Mike. I'm glad you detailed it as you did. One of the challenges that I've had is the roof. I see moss on the roof and I go, well, let's pressure wash that. Versus replace the whole roof.
Pressure wash, by the way, pressure washing is not a good thing to do to a roof, because there's a really good chance that you're going to remove granules if you do that. So I would recommend against pressure washing roofs, by the way.
Yeah. You can literally take about 5 years off a roof pressure washing that.
Right, right.
My goodness.
So you're trying to figure out how you can figure out if a roof needs to be replaced. Is that what you're asking?
Right, because that's a big expense. I mean, that's kind of a deal breaker.
Does anybody have a good answer for Sally?
Well, this is Vince. I've used a guy that does some kind of pressure washing on roofs on my own house and the last place I got at the foreclosure auction. If the place is heavily mossed, though, I think you have to consider replacing it. But if there's light moss, I mean, that's what I was going to do. I've used it before, and I'm happy with the results. And that was about $500.
To clean it?
Yeah.
What you typically, this is what I've learned, and
you know, from talking with my contractors and everything, you want to, when you have the three tab roof, those are the ones that are like the older style composite shingle. Those ones typically last 20 to 25 years. And so you kind of just figure out how old is the roof. And if the roof is 20 years old, then you know that you're not going to have hardly any time on it. You're going to have to replace it, even if it looks okay. The newer composite roofs, or they call them like dimensional shingles, those are the ones that kind of have the angular cuts in it, and it's kind of like a layered look. And, you know, those ones, if you ever see a roof that's got those shingles, you won't have to replace it unless when they put it on, they didn't do it right.
Right.
Or because those ones aren't really old enough to, I don't know how long they've been around, but, you know, I know that they have, I don't think they've been around for 20 years. I'm not sure. But what you want to do is you want to look at how, if there's a lot of granules that have been removed from the roof, if you walk on the roof, the sheeting underneath,
mm-hmm.
you know, the problem can be if there's damaged sheeting, then it would be soft and you might have to replace that. A lot of people, they just cover a roof. So instead of tearing off the old roof, they'll put a new roof on top of an old one. And so if you have a lot of layers on one roof, that can cause an issue. That's kind of what I look. And then, you know, the best way to learn all this stuff is to actually have somebody come out and give you an estimate and be there when they're looking at the roof, so you can kind of get an idea for how they bid out the job. And then what you can usually do is figure out like a cost per square for replacing, and then use that for future jobs. So the steeper the roof, the more expensive it's going to be. Obviously, the larger, the more expensive. And if they have to replace sheeting, that's where it can get pretty expensive too.
Good stuff. Thank you.
So, all right. Anything else, Sally?
No.
Okay. Who else? David, Chris, anybody?
Well, I've been on five act-specific appointments. I actually sat down with the sellers. The one you and I went through, Mike, I don't know if you, we got into some rather detailed questions that she had regarding, you know, the act program itself and some other things, which I think we put together a pretty good response to that might be of value. To the rest of the group, you can kind of decide on that, Mike. But for what
that
parts
email,
of it might
the email
be.
That you, the email that you sent to me first, that was really good.
But it just seemed like questions that others would probably be running into as well. So,
I'll post that on the website.
Great.
Okay.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that sounds
yeah.
good. They actually decided they were going to leave their renters in for two more months. The renters requested it. And, you know, it gives them the opportunity to not do anything, which most people will default to given the choice. So they're going to hold off. I've got one other contract that they're reviewing it and may move forward with. I've got another one where, unfortunately, it's two attorneys deciding what's going to happen. The house is over leveraged, but... the wife doesn't think that doing an axe deal on it or doing anything is a good idea because she thinks that the husband, you know, it's something he thought up. So what I've offered is to sit down with the attorneys from both sides and go through it with them because it doesn't favor one or the other. It gives them a solution that they don't have, and that would keep the place from, you know, going into disrepair. It's sitting there vacant, beautiful house. And it'd make a great axe deal, but they've got it financed at about right about what it's worth. So I'll let you know how that one goes.
Sure. Are you approaching these as an agent or as a principal?
No, not as an agent. I mean, I have to tell them I'm one, but I usually don't until I've sat down and worked with them a bit. And I have to tell them that I'm an agent at the point where I establish a meaningful relationship with them. And in attorney speak, that is the point where I ask them to sign anything. So when I get the contract out, the first part of it is always the agency disclosure. and, you know, let them, I have them sign off on that before they sign anything else, or leave anything with them that they could sign and just fax back. So.
Okay. All right. So that the one with the attorneys that are in there, do they have any? Have you talked to them yet, or is it just preliminary?
No, I walked through it with the husband and got a hold of the wife after a couple of different phone calls and talked to her about it. And she was cordial enough on the phone that he said that that's not really how she feels about it. So that's when I offered to sit down with both their counsel and go through the deal with them and just show it to them, because it's not, it doesn't favor either of them.
Sure.
But we'll see if they take them up on that.
They're not going to get any money on the deal. They're just saving the cost that the other ones have to pay.
Exactly. And then I think the there's a part of it in that he's making the mortgage payments, trying to keep it from going into default, and she's enjoying that. So, but that's just my outside opinion.
Sure. Okay.
So we'll see on that one, but I should have an answer from them this week if that one's going to move forward or not. So I've got a couple of them that are right there, but nothing signed yet.
Good. Now, what are you doing to get these leads?
I'm actually working through some of the stuff that I have access to with as an agent. So I've got a couple different sources for that, of people that are, you know, have either their listings have expired and they're looking for a different solution, seem to be a really a group that's really interested to talk. Those that have canceled, you would think they'd be the same, but they're not. They tend to be kind of angry about the whole thing, so they're not as easy of a group to talk to.
Sure.
But I've found quite a few that way, at least, you know, to get them to talk to. And then I've got some other marketing going out, just looking for regular deals, and the ones that come back on there that, you know, I can't buy, I'm presenting Axe as a option to just not doing anything with them.
Right. Yeah, I mentioned about the property that I looked at a few weeks ago over on Cooper Point Road. You had said potentially it would be something that you might be interested in. I just want to let you know I'm still trying to work with that seller. She's kind of a flaky woman, so I haven't been able to lock anything down yet, but. If you might be interested, or if you know anybody that's looking for a high-end house, just keep that in mind for when I get this thing locked up.
Okay. Well, once you get it locked up, let's talk about it. I'm not going to be interested in it personally. I actually found one that we're under contract on, so it's going to be a long-term lease option that we're going to live in.
Good.
Yeah, so that,
yeah,
that works out well.
Did you use the same Ron LeGrand techniques when you negotiated this one?
No. Kind of a long story. My wife's the one that actually found it.
Really?
Cool. And yeah, so she got us in touch, and then I came in and said, look, you know, here's a way that we'd be interested in interacting with this, and they thought it was a great idea, so it worked out well.
Good. A couple recommendations. You may have already thought of this, but make sure you have an assignability clause so that you can assign your interest if you guys end up deciding not to ultimately buy it, but there's equity.
Okay.
And then the other thing is I would see if you can get 100% rent credit, or if they'd be willing to give it. So do they have any equity?
Yes.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah.
See if you can get the biggest rent credit possible. You know, and it couldn't go towards your down payment, but you can do it as a reduction of sale price or something. So.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds like
cool. Cool. Any of those other deals? Do you have any questions about, or need any help?
No. I appreciate your input through the week, so that's been working out well.
Great. And so what I'll do is if I get your permission, I'll put your responses to those questions that you had emailed that one lady. I'll put it on the website.
Okay.
They're really good. So, awesome. Let's see. Hey, Chris, is there any update that you've got for anything? Or
a small one. So I talked to Marilyn, the condo owner, today, and so she still seems to be really dragging her feet on getting this the paperwork signed. for buying
right.
it.
Okay.
Because the only thing we have left is the even just to sign paperwork to get the rest of the stuff rolling is the rental check and or the rental background check. And she is going to do it online, and we're going to meet on Saturday, and I was like, so we can sign paperwork. Is there anything else that, that you need to do before we sign paperwork? And she's like, well, this takes us one step at a time, and we'll do the rental background check, and then we'll take the next step from there. And I have a feeling that it's going to happen eventually, but just...
It just feels like, do you feel like she has any apprehension at all to doing it, or do you think that is she just taking her old sweet time?
Taking her old sweet time because she's got a lot of other stuff going on in her life. But yeah. One good thing is she said, because I mentioned, like, well, my lease ends in 12 days, so I don't really want to take my time. And so she said I could have access to it beforehand. So we're going to... maybe I'd mention the where I'd rent from her for a month or two, hopefully just a few weeks, but however long it takes to get the purchase and sales agreement and signed and closed and everything. So
did so she's waiting for the background check. She's kind of want to take things one step at a time, but she's willing to sign lease paperwork for you?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. It sounds kind of funky. Like, you know, why would she not just want to get the whole sale taken care of? Do you think she's shopping your offer at all, or?
I don't know. She seemed comfortable with me as a person and like what I'm doing for her, and I just.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. What you might want to try is a soft takeaway close. Just let her know. Hey, you know, I'm kind of in a position where I need to find a place permanently to move, and I thought that we had a deal going on this. But if I don't know that I'm going to be buying it, then I'm not sure if renting is going to be a good idea for me if I have to move out if I find something different. So is there what else do we need to do so that maybe in a couple weeks or within this week we can get everything, all the paperwork signed so that we can do it? Just see what she says, because it seems like, you know, at some point if a seller is just dragging you along for no apparent reason, then you might have to push back a little bit to see if this is just a smokescreen objection, so that meaning she's saying that she just wants to take her sweet time, but she actually has some real concerns. Versus if she's just not getting around to it because she just takes a while to make, you know, to do stuff. So you might want to try to depress her just a little bit and see how she responds, because that'll tell you if this is even going to be a real deal or not. I'd hate to have you move in. I mean, if you didn't get this deal accepted, are you going to want to move there just to rent?
No. The only reason why I want to move in is because it's...
Yeah. So what I would do is I would push her on that a little bit, and just say, hey, you know, I'm happy doing an early possession so that I can rent for a bit before buying. But my concern is that I really don't want to rent unless I know this is going to go through. So we're going to need to sign purchase agreement and get it into escrow, and I'd be happy to rent temporarily, but. I would only do that if I know that I'm going to be able to buy it. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense for me to do this at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, I'll bring that up to her. On another good note, I talked to that friend of mine that we'd spoken about on Thursday about fixing my website, and he owns his own IT company, and so I described to him the situation about the problem with the website, and he said that I need to send him stuff for him to look into it. But even though it's not going to be $5 or $20 like I was kind of hoping, but he said he might end up fixing it for about $100.
Cool.
So
yeah, that's good. $100.
My website,
yeah, I think it's totally worth it. Yeah.
All right. Very cool. What I'd like you guys to do is if I want to be able to hold you guys accountable for this next week. And if you can all email me with what you're planning on doing as far as maybe numbers of sellers to talk to or appointments or marketing to go out, I want to get a number so I know how what I can do expect for this next week and kind of push you guys a little bit to a stretchingly realistic goal. So if you guys can all email me, and then I will actually do the same. I've got a few things that are on my plate that I want to do, and so I'll email the group as well with my commitments for the week. So anybody else got any last-minute stuff?
Mike, how do you like to be contacted during the week?
Email is good unless you have something you need to call me. So if there's any kind of important thing, just give me a call. Otherwise, email is good. A lot of times I get tons and tons of emails. So if you email me with a question and I don't get back to you, within about 12 hours or so, then shoot me a call or a text message and I'll rush it.
Okay. Thank you.
Mike,
right.
This is Vince. So I've started getting people who say, take me off your list, and I hadn't quite considered my list as one of those kinds of lists, but I guess it is. How do you handle making sure people don't get recontacted?
What I do is I have my contact database. If they say take me off the list, then I literally delete them from my record. And so one of the things you can do, I don't know how it's set up in Zoho. Are you able to tag people with different types of tags?
Yeah, well, it can be a custom field, too.
Okay. However you do it, you just have to know that if you're going to be sending out a new mailing, that somehow they're excluded from that.
Yeah.
So one of the fields that I like to have is a field that has active, pending, or dead. So every single lead that would – or not acting, pending, active, follow-up, or dead. So an active lead is somebody who has contacted you and they have not yet rejected an offer from you. So it's basically one that you're in process and they haven't rejected an offer, or they accepted an offer and you're going to close. Follow-up would be anybody who has told you that they're not ready to sell at this time, or that rejected an offer that you made. And then if you have somebody that's in the follow-up category, you want to be able to set a follow-up date. And ideally, you'd have two different types of follow-ups. One would be a generic follow-up, which would be your autoresponder that could hit them quarterly with a simple email that says, hey, John, this is Vince. I talked to you a little while ago about your house. Is it still for sale, or would you still consider selling? If so, give me a call. The other follow-up would one be your date-specific one, where if you talk to a seller and they literally tell you, well, I'm not going to be selling until my kids graduate from college or high school, which is going to be, next June. And so what I would do is I would set up a specific date follow-up and set it for a month or two at least before that time occurs. So you might even set it up in the spring and just give them a call and just say, hey, I know you said you're not going to be selling until after your kid graduates. I want to let you know I'm still interested in your house. So, and then if it says dead, you flip it to dead, and I usually just take them completely out of my contact database unless I feel that there is a chance for them to get re-uploaded if I pull up a new list.
Okay.
And then if somebody calls me and they're upset and they say, hey, I don't want to get any mailings from you or whatever, take me off those, how'd you get my name? I'm just, polite with them, and I let them know, I apologize. I'm just looking to buy a house in the neighborhood, and I thought if I sent some letters out to some people, if we didn't have to use a real estate agent, it could save everybody some money. But I'd be happy to not send you another one. And sometimes you don't even know who they are or what their address is. So I'll say, okay, can you do me a favor? So I don't send you another letter. Where did I mail that to? What address did I mail it to? And then just write it down and, gracefully bow out. But you're going to get those calls every now and then. All right, that it, guys?
I'm good.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Well, shoot me your goals for this week, and then actually when you do that, copy everybody in on it too, so we can kind of have some peer accountability. So send it to the whole group, and then we will talk to you next Monday.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. See you guys. Bye.
All right. Bye.